Today's episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Smile Direct Club. Inner Ho Uprising.
This one is for all my women friends, yeah. I'ma stay by you until the end, yeah. I don't give a damn if we put on it, no. If you got a problem, we can solve it.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising.
I like the way you got in your mic when you did that. You were like, Kia.
Yeah, I'm like, from we Brooklyn.
In a hoe.
Oh, for real, right?
We in here. Oh. This is the podcast about sex, love, and dating from me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City, and my co-ho of the day, yeah. Terrence, cheer, a hoe that works three jobs to keep from being a victim of idle hands and idle thoughts. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Ooh, I'm so much better.
So much better.
Oh, yeah.
So much better. So much better than when. We Ooh. Don't know you here.
Oh, yeah.
This
oh.
is our first time meeting you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. So, yeah, I was trying to make my way over here, and I had, like, the craziest car experience. Mm-hmm. Like, the driver got out in the intersection with red light, took off his jacket.
Oh, no.
No, it was a lot. I was like, maybe the air is broke, but it was raining, and it was humid. And then yeah, he stopped to get really gas. Humid. And I was like, dude. Like, I have somewhere to be.
This is like Crazy Taxi come to life. You had an actual Crazy Taxi experience.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry, but I'm glad that you're here now.
Oh, yeah. One Piece? Oh, I'm loving it.
All right. So this is season two of the Inner Ho Uprising, the search for a new coho. If you guys listened to season one, you would know that there was an old coho. She's no longer with us, but we have a new coho every single episode. And today we've got Terrence. And spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about asexuality.
Boom.
Boom. Funk Flex has dropped a bomb on it. So after this episode, if you would like Terrence to be the coho for the entire show, you can vote for him on innerhouseuprising.com, or you can vote for any of the other people featured on the Inner Hoe Uprising as co-hosts on innerhouseuprising.com. There's a little vote button and it's right there. So once again, if you are a new listener, we've got a couple of segments here for you today. We got Bae of the Week, where we talk about people we're attracted to. Hoe of the Week, where we shout out the listeners. Self-care tip of the week, where we talk about, we suggest some tips to take care of yourself. We got Fuck That, which is our current event segment. We got Fuck It, which is our topic of the day, asexuality. We got Fuck Me, which is about our sexual lives, and today we're skipping Fuck You, which is usually about your lives. But if you would like to share your stories and hoe tales to us, you can do so by emailing us at ihupodcast@gmail.com. And one final thing, if you would like to follow along to the conversation had in this podcast, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising on whatever platform you want. And if you want other people to see the fact that you're talking about a podcast you're listening to, you can use the hashtag PodIn. All right, you ready to get into the shizzo?
Shizzo. Let's do it.
H to the shizzo. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You didn't join me.
Oh, I was
dancing over here.
I was doing it in my head. Oh, yeah, y'all got to see this. Yeah, she was doing
the worst dance.
Nah, it was amazing.
It was like a shitty Harlem Shake. All right, so Bae of the Week. Who are your Bays of the Week?
Yeah, I had to go to Bays of the Week because, you know, I feel like these people are like sort of unsung. Well, actually, one's overly sung and one I feel is not anywhere near sung enough, so I did like,
I don't know who you're talking. I think both of these people, everybody's always like, they're gorgeous, I love them, but I think one person gets a little more, but you can go into
This is what I mean. Yeah, so I put up Asian Naomi King. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's googling her right now. Go ahead, open the other tab.
She's fucking Michaela, god damn it.
Oh, okay, never mind.
How to get away with my
so you guys kind of know who she is. Okay, great, awesome.
Yeah,
I saw in a few, like I saw in the pilot she did for like Emily Owens and all these other med drama shows before, you know, Shonda was like, I could use her.
Exactly. I could come into the fold, my dear.
Yeah, she made it work. I love it. And of course, you know, the other bay, you know, Trevante Rhodes.
Everyone saw Moonlight.
Well, that, you know what, that is true. Go ahead, do the Googles. When you see them, and you see them on their carpets and their outfits, you'll be like, you know what? Why didn't I know who these people
were? They are both beautiful ass people for like no reason. Like, how do you both look that good? They're also just like a very nice shade of brown.
Yeah, that
like
too.
That is like chocolate good. I don't know why I'm doing a lot of weird stuff today.
Well, hey, I mean, that's ultimately what
it is. I don't
know
why I was moving my fingers like that.
It's like,
what do you mean that's ultimately what it is?
Well, when you touch somebody that chocolate, it rubs off. So, you know, it's just like you get the residue.
That's exactly what it is. Although I don't like chocolate on my fingers.
Hashtag team dark skin.
Hashtag team dark skin all day, every day, says the one light-skinned person in the room. Okay. Now on to Ho of the Week. You guys, the homies who are so awesome. I love all of you. But this week, we're going to shout out RM Lundy, who paid a bitch a fucking large amount. And I just love him. Like, he always has great memes on Instagram. And he shouted us out on Instagram this week as well. Rebecca C., who also paid a bitch and is Australian. Is that what happens? Is that what they do down there?
Who knows?
Aussie, mate. Like,
whatever they do.
Yeah, that thing. Sorry, Rebecca, but thanks for paying a bitch and for being an Australian hoe. Allison B, who also paid a bitch, and I also love her too. She's like great on Twitter. And then we've got Karina, who is the most participatory SoundCloud user, not ever, but like for the show. And this week, I loved her, and she also paid a bitch. So thank you guys.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the self care tip of the week. How do you suggest that we take care of ourselves this week?
All right, so my self-care tip of the week is schedule yourself a sexual pilgrimage.
That sounds fun.
And it's also kind of, you know, it may be biased.
The irony is here.
Exactly, because, you know, I'm the asexual co-host, and I'm like, yeah, you got to get out there and, yeah, experience things.
Okay, yeah. So what makes you say that?
Well, you know, ultimately, this is how I've broken it down. Because, you know, I've had not but time to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not everyone knows straight out of the womb what wags their proverbial tail. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to fall into preferential habits that, you know, barely meet the mark of satisfactory.
Okay.
Much like being a picky eater, you know, by simply centering self-pleasure over stigmatization, you can transform your flase-da sessions into encounters to remember. So, you know, it's possible to stumble upon new ways to, you know yourself or love yourself. You know, it could prove to be daunting or scary. You know, you don't have to jump out of the window straight away, go straight for the whip or the handcuffs, you know.
That's not straight out the window, because in the BDSM episode,
oh yeah,
I love we were that bleeding one. Nipples.
Oh, I love that episode. So I mean, yeah, just schedule yourself the very first like step in it. You know, my whole thing is consent is the best form of any kind of, you know.
It's the only form. This honestly. Is what
I'm saying. No, I'm just saying.
That's, if it ain't consent, it's right. Sorry,
I feel like people still. You need to say it again. Hashtag.
It's rape. If it ain't it's consent, rape. It's rape. Like, how do you type rape like that?
Rape.
You got to put like an H in there. Several A's. I love it. No. That was good. That was like a doctoral speech that you gave just now. It was like, Terrence is on a podium and we are all the audience here scheduling the sexual pilgrimage. Yeah, have you gone on a sexual pilgrimage?
Yeah. I'll get a little more into that because I'm sure somebody's like, you know. But he said he's asexual, so what kind of pilgrimage he's going on if he's not having sex? Spoiler alert, I'm not a virgin.
Dun, dun, dun. Spoiler alert, I am. This whole show is nothing. It's all been a lie.
It's all a lie.
The inner version of right now. Okay. Now on to pay a bitch. If you guys would like to support and sustain this podcast, you can go to innerhouseuprising.com. Click the pay a bitch tab. You can also go to paypal.me/innerho. You can also go to innerhouseuprising.com and click the merchandise tab and buy a cool hoodie or shirt to rock, you know, innerho uprising gear. Ready to go into the meat of the show.
Let's do it.
The meat. No veganism allowed. The meat of the show.
Fuck that.
Yeah. You just do this lean in thing. Where you're like, yeah, I'm
somebody's
here.
Somebody's got to hear me. You feel me out there, right?
you all feel me.
Most importantly, it will be great health care, and your premiums will come down, and your deductibles will come down. Repealing and replacing Obamacare will be a big, big win for the American people.
So this is the current event segment of the show, and today we got one big current events thing on the chopping block. We got the whole ACA being repealed and being replaced by the ACHA, which is just like, thanks, Republicans. You're very creative. You added an H to the acronym and fucked up everybody's life, basically. This whole, well, basically, I want to get into here how the repeal and replacement of Obamacare affects all of our sexual and reproductive healths.
Well, yeah, you have to think about it in terms of, you know, who's supplying what aids to what demographic. So when you think of the big losers with what got, you know, swapped, you know, little letters in the acronym, words mean things, mm-hmm. You'll see that there's a lot of leeway for, you know, government to choose not to invest in those they deem, I don't like using terms like at risk. That's terrible. It's a terrible thing
sick
to say.
People.
But yeah, people who are more likely to be sick. You know what? You're kind of older than we'd like to kind of insure. So we're going to increase your
But the crazy
premiums.
Thing is, like, the thing about all the people who, like, made these laws, like, for example, our president is a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
That's a high-risk fool, which I didn't know before I did research for this episode. I didn't know what that meant.
And I was looking at everything that was kind of like going to be compromised. You know what I did not see? Erectile dysfunction medication. Because for some reason, a band of old white men all decided that, you know what? This is not something they're really willing to part with. So
we need this. Okay, so we'll go into all that stuff. But quick facts, if you're just like, what the fuck is going on? I have no, like, healthcare? What? Or if you, like, don't live in this country. So Thursday, May 4th, may the 4th be with you, the House of Representatives passed the Republican Party's health reform bill, passed by a narrow vote, 217 to 213. Mostly Republicans voted yay and Democrats voted nay. Although there was, like, one Democrat who voted yay, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Ugh. Like, what the like, why would you even do it? Ugh. There was no point. He didn't swing the vote.
You should have stayed home. Exactly. Stay home. Like, what the
I'm sick, guys. I can't do it. I can't make it. But I think a good amount, and by good I mean 10 Republicans voted nay. So shouts to you for having a heart. Yeah, so it's passed in the House. It's going to go over to the Senate next, and then they're going to vote and revise. And then it kind of ping-pongs back and forth for some reason, because that's what the Founding Fathers wanted. And then Trump will eventually sign us all to, like, be damned and stuff like that. So, you know, I hope it doesn't go into actual law, but I'm pretty sure it will.
Well, I mean, it could. It could. We're terrible humans. We're terrible humans
we
in this country.
We have fucked up. No, we're terrible humans in this world.
In this
Get
world.
Get it right.
You're right.
We have terrible. Fucked up the entire planet for no reason, which ultimately is, like, not beneficial to us because, like, it's a planet, right? Like, if we go extinct, the Earth is just going to be like, okay, new species time. Like, shit's going to continue forward. We have fucked our own lives up.
Oh, man. And I like that it keeps ping-ponging back and forth because they're like, we need a nicer way to strip all these people of their benefits. It's like, this doesn't sound like, you know, we have re-elections coming up and I already put my signature on the yay line.
Let's
but
just make it seem like we're okay as people. No, you're not okay as people. So, somebody did, like, the projection of this, and ultimately it would leave 24 million Americans without health insurance by 2026. So, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff. I don't know what you want to get into first. Should we go on the various ways that this affects women's health, what it's going to do to birth control, what it can do to pregnancy costs?
Are you guys afraid of
the pre-existing conditions? We can go on the pre-existing conditions because you were talking about the whole erectile dysfunction thing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much here. So under the new plan, under Obamacare or the ACA, basically that banned insurance companies from denying people health insurance for having whatever they deem a pre-existing condition or jacking up their premium for whatever they deem a pre-existing condition. So in case you don't know, a pre-existing condition is just a health problem that you've had before the date that your coverage starts. So Obamacare eliminated that. And then the Republicans were like, nah, we gotta put that the fuck back in. So the new American healthcare, I'm gonna call it Trump Care, because ACA and ACHCA, like,
it's way too close.
It's just dumb. I don't like it. The Trump Care leaves the definition of what a pre-existing condition is that can prelude someone's healthcare to up to the states. So now insurance companies still can't deny people with pre-existing conditions coverage, but they can hike up premiums and price people out of the market, which is essentially denying someone coverage, because if I can't pay for it, what the fuck am I going to do? And then also to note, this only applies to people buying individual healthcare, not people who are like under employers and stuff like that, because your employer denying you shit is fucked up. But a lot of people are on the individual market because niggas don't have full-time jobs out here. And like, we are millennials and we're doing creative stuff and we're entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So a lot of people are affected by this.
Oh yeah.
So, the reason, the thing that they do that makes this okay, the whole stipulation in Trump Care that says that insurance companies and states can do that, is that the insurance company has to create a high risk pool. So basically that's a separate market for sicker people. So if all the sick people are in one separate market, you can jack their prices up like crazy. And you think, okay, so who exactly is this helping? So Republicans and the insurance companies who are for this say that it actually brings down the cost of non-sick people's coverages, but in fact it doesn't. Like, people have done studies and it doesn't really do that. And then also, I don't know, I just believe in socialism. Like, if we're okay people, I don't mind paying for sick people to be well so that we're all well in this society.
Right.
Just makes sense.
Right. Like, and if I end up being sick one day, probably tomorrow, I would want, you know, someone to be able to pay for me to be sick.
Yeah, can we all just help each other out? And then also, if you think, like, people having certain illnesses that can be spread to other people, that can be spread to other people. Right. It is not good for public health in general to have a whole bunch of sick people not able to pay for their health insurance. Yeah, so it's all fucked up, basically, which is what I say on this podcast all the time. Another thing in the Trump Care is that they actually allocate $23 billion to help people with pre-existing conditions with insurance coverage. So like, where they can't come out of pocket, that amount of money is supposed to help them pay for their coverage with the rising premiums and stuff like that. But someone did a study on that, and that amount of money is only enough to assist about 5% of Americans with pre-existing conditions.
Oh,
so it's literally not going to help anybody. Oh. And once again, it is all fucked up. So, yeah. So there's nothing actually in Trump Care that says, like, well, you being pregnant is a pre-existing condition and you being erectile defunct is not. But based off of what insurance companies have considered pre-existing conditions in the past, it's not looking good for the future. So some things that have been considered pre-existing conditions before Obamacare were AIDS, cancer, ovarian, breast, testicular, cervical cancer, since we're doing this whole sexual reproductive health thing, all the hepatitises, menstrual irregularities, pregnancy, having had a C-section, postpartum depression, being transgender, having had gender reassignment surgery, the PTSD that might follow being sexually assaulted, STDs that might follow being sexually assaulted, and PTSD from domestic violence. So that's all, like, fucked up things to make people pay more for when they need. I just don't get the point of making people who need more help pay more.
Well, I'm just baffled at the idea that being pregnant is a pre-existing condition. When the whole process of a pregnancy is to spring forth a brand new life. It's temporal. Like, you're not pregnant before you're pregnant.
Yeah. So on to this pregnancy thing. That's when you're not pregnant before you're pregnant. With that, where's my fucking note about pregnancy? I'm sorry, this is just so much. So the estimated premium hike for pregnancy for people who are buying stuff on the individual market is probably going to be $17,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is just like, nigga, I have a child inside of me. I can't afford that right now. I can't help you with that. Yeah, so that's the whole pre-existing condition thing, which is all, you know, fucked up. Now we can just go into other various reasons why it's fucked up.
Whoa. There's a lot, guys. There's a lot.
Yeah,
here.
I definitely did tear up while I was doing this.
Okay.
And then I stopped and I was like, ugh, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay, so I'm not sure if everyone out there or, you know, outside of the country knows much about what Planned Parenthood is about and why everyone keeps fighting to keep it funded versus mm-hmm. not funded.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Medicaid has been helping people who could not afford certain types of care mm-hmm. in regards to maybe being assaulted or raped or, you know, things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
prenatal care. It just, it's been an outlet and a great way to sort of subsidize costs.
Yeah, Medicaid just helps people who are poor and want to be healthy.
And you know, just kind of, right, it's like, for some reason, someone somewhere decided, yeah, these basic things should cost a lot.
Yeah,
because exactly. Everyone needs it, but we shouldn't make
so that I can profit off of it. Huh?
Yeah, it's just,
it's like, little did you know, you could profit off of it, but not to, like, excessive margins that fuck everybody over.
It's just highly, highly terrible.
Yeah, but yeah, as you were saying, so Medicaid is one of the things that's going to be, like, cut in Planned Parenthood, in Trump Care in general. So the plan in Trump Care is to cut the number of people covered by Medicaid significantly, and then phase out Medicaid expansion, which was the Obamacare's plan to increase the number of people who were supposed to be eligible for Medicaid. So we're not expanding anymore, and then we're cutting the people that we already have. And Medicaid pays for things like Planned Parenthood. Medicaid pays for half of all the births in the USA, which is already fucked up because even though we're such a quote-unquote developed country, I think our stats for death and illness during pregnancy is, like, a lot higher than other people. So we already have this weird fucked up, like, birthing system in America, and then we're cutting the money that people need to take care of themselves while they're pregnant. Do you want people, like... Do they want us to all die? Like, I don't get the point anymore.
Well, it's
who's going to work for you if we all die?
I know.
Are you even working for yourself?
It's you know, branching out. It's doing the classism thing. Like, we've seen broad strokes about it. Yeah. You know, Kanye warned us about it. We wasn't listening. You know,
he did try to do that.
He turned crazy or something. I don't know. Big up, Kanye. Yeah. But no. So now, since it's costing more to bring life into the world, mm-hmm. the natural act of giving birth is now going to become a luxury.
Yeah.
So you can't even continue, like, your family line mm-hmm. without the luxury of being able to do so.
That's the fucked up thing about capitalism. Like, just living your life becomes a luxury. I did not ask to be here. I don't think any of us did. Like, hey, mom, dad, make that happen over there. No, none of us asked to be here, and we all deserve to live just decent lives, man. Just decent fucking lives. Other things Medicaid does, 3/4 of the money spent in family planning comes from Medicaid. And then also Medicaid covers abortion in 17 states. So people heavily rely on Medicaid. So then when we get further into Planned Parenthood, there's this one weird section of ACA, which is just like, ayo, Planned Parenthood, we don't fuck with you, but we're really not going to say that we don't fuck with you so that we look like good people. So the section says, this is from an article on Vox, sections of the bill say groups that are primarily engaged in family planning services, reproductive health, and providing abortions, aka Planned Parenthood, whose Medicaid receipts exceed $350 million in a fiscal year, aka Planned Parenthood, are barred from receiving federal dollars through several health programs, most importantly Medicaid. So that means people who need services from Planned Parenthood who are on Medicaid cannot use it or go to Planned Parenthood to use it. And I think somebody did, like, a study of, like, well, where are they going to go? There's, like, spoiler, there's not enough places to go if there's no Planned Parenthoods. So people are just going to not be able to get the care that they need. And then because Planned Parenthood isn't getting any money because the majority of the people going there use Medicaid, they're probably going to fall under. Like, they're going to go belly up because they're going to go bankrupt at some point. So that was, like, a little jab to Planned Parenthood. Another thing, a fucked up thing that Trump Care is doing. So before, Obamacare required certain insurance plans to cover 10 essential health benefits, including pregnancy, maternity care, mental health, addiction treatment, and lab tests. That's scrapped, so you don't even have to cover said things. And then if you do decide to cover said things, you can hike up the premium to out of the wazoo. And then another thing, people can no longer use federal tax credits to purchase insurance plans that cover abortions. So if you're not rich enough to actually afford your own insurance plan and you use the federal tax credits, now you can't do so to get an abortion. So you're fucked over. Yeah. We can touch on birth control and then leave. I mean, do you have anything?
I'm just trying to figure out who wins here. Like, who's supposed to walk out of this, like, the champion?
That's one of the things, right? Because, like, there was that whole headline where it was like, doctors, hospitals, and insurers band together to say that this is fucked up. Like, none of them are pleased with this. Because even though, like, some of the things do benefit insurance companies, like, oh, you can jack up your premiums, you're jacking it up so much that nobody's going to buy your shit anyway.
Yep.
So nobody's getting money. Like, doctors are like, well, we care about our patients. And hospitals are like, our patients can't pay to even be here. So we're going to go bankrupt. Like, this is where capitalism just gets stupid. Like, you're just fucking yourselves over. So I guess one final point about birth control and how this new Trump care can fuck it over if it is passed. So under Obamacare, Obamacare requires most plans offer at least one brand of various types of FDA-approved birth control with no out-of-pocket costs, meaning like one brand of the IUD, one brand of an injection, one brand of the pill, one brand of the shot, whatever, will definitely be at no out-of-pocket cost on a certain plan with some exemptions. But now it doesn't have that same requirement. So some of the costs that birth control can Some of these costs that can be inflicted upon people is like $50 a month for the pill, $500 to $800 for the IUD, $800 for the implant, $250 for the shot, and $80 a month for the NuvaRing, which, you know, niggas can't afford that shit. So it's kind of like, okay, well, then get pregnant. Or if something happens, get pregnant. And then it's like, don't get an abortion. And then it's like, well, we're not going to give you any money to take care of your fucking kid. So thanks, guys.
Why is it that older men think they have like the keys
to everything?
To everything.
Because they do. Okay. They fucking do. And like, one of the things that's always bothered me is like, why are you destroying the earth if we're gonna have nowhere else to go? But I'm convinced that they legit have enough money to just fucking pack up or like build a biosphere or something like that. So ultimately, I think we're fucked. Like, I think they don't care for a reason. Like, this is really off tangent, but it was just one thing that I learned that bothered me. Like, ExxonMobil and shit, like Rex Tillerson, like their whole thing is like, we don't know about climate change. We didn't know shit was gonna fuck us up or whatever. Not only did these motherfuckers know, right? They fucking started, like, when science about climate change was coming out, they started doing impact studies to see how much oil they could drill in the Arctic when ice was melted down. So it's like, we're fucking the world up and we want to know how we can fuck it up even more to gain profit. People are evil. They don't care. We should probably end the segment now.
Sorry guys.
First 30 minutes.
We didn't mean to, you know, Debbie down this whole thing.
No, it'll be great from here.
I'm just saying.
We have asexual hotels coming out.
I'm just saying.
But first, let's do a message from our sponsors. So as I said in the beginning, this episode of the Inner Heart Uprising is sponsored by Smile Direct Club. Smile Direct Club is an at-home teledentistry service that ships clear orthodontic aligners right to your doorstep. Perfect for people looking to make some changes to their smile without the hassle and cost of going to an orthodontist's office.
Smile Direct Club aligners are affordable, about 70% less than other aligner brands or braces, and you can save even more with your insurance or an FSA. Many dental insurance plans cover the cost of aligners, and Smile Direct Club accepts FSAs.
Yes, yes, yes. So I am currently wearing my Smile Direct Club aligners right now, which my speech pattern might be a little bit different. But no, they're like painless. It's cool. It's just, I have like a tiny little lisp. I've had a pretty good experience with them so far. I have a little crowding in my teeth, so I figured why not straighten that situation out. It's also good for people who used to wear braces as children, but their teeth have reverted back over adulthood and they want to kind of straighten it back out. So I went to a Smile Direct shop to get a 3D scan of my teeth. It was a very quick and simple process. Everybody was very nice and accommodating. They were like giving out free water and shit, and they had chargers for your phone. It was really nice. The process was basically they took a wand and you get a scan in your mouth. They take pictures and shit. Then a few days later, I was sent back an email with my dental plan and images of what my smile in the end would look like. But if you can't make it to a smile shop, you can also do a 3D mold at home by yourself and send that into Smile Direct. So a few weeks later, my aligners arrived along with this thing called glow whitening gel that is a part of all of their plans. And so far, my teeth are several shades whiter, and I'm on my second set of aligners, and I can already see and feel the spacing and movement happening. So I'll be updating you guys along the way, but the process so far has been great.
Nice. And so there are two easy ways to pay for aligners from Smile Direct Club. A single pay is a single payment of $1,700 as compared to other aligner brands, which can cost up to $5,000 on average. Mm. Or you can take advantage of Smile Pay, which is $250 down and then $99 a month for 17 months.
Mm-hmm. You can get started with your at-home impression 3D mold of your teeth for $95, which is covered by the Smile Guarantee. If aligners aren't a good fit for you, Smile Direct Club will send you your money back. And you can do your impression kit for $50 off using our special offer. So save 50% off on the cost of Smile Direct Club's at-home impression kit by visiting smiledirectclub.com and using code HOE, that's H-O-E.
Visit Smile Direct Club and use the H-O-E promo code today if you, your children, or anyone you know is interested in a straighter smile.
Hey, hey, hey. Fuck it. Yeah, you always get it. It's like you're about to really rock on the mic. And I'm like, hey.
On international blocks. What up, Australia?
Exactly. Shout out to Rebecca C. So today is basically just Asexuality 101 and tales from a self-proclaimed asexual hoe.
Yeah.
So let's get into like what asexuality is, because a lot of people don't know what it means, if you would like to define it.
Ultimately, you can think of asexuality as like the void. You know how like some people will say, do you want Coke or Diet Coke? And it's like, well, I'd rather not have a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of that.
Okay.
It's sort of almost literally that. So it's like, you know, there's a spectrum where you could either be, they say it starts from heterosexuality and then at the end it's homosexuality. But there has to be like this, you know, there has to be a zero or a balance that's in between. So it's like, you know what? Mm. It's not that. It's not this. It's not both.
There has to be like some sort of Z-axis.
Exactly.
You guys like, are like a third dimension.
Right. You got to open your mind.
This is getting wild.
Oh, yeah.
So the definition on Google, if you guys didn't understand any of what Taryn just said, is a person who does not experience sexual attraction, quite simply. Not to be confused with abstinence, which is abstaining from sex, like you're just not having sex at that time, or celibacy, which is a religious vow to not to have sex. So if you're just like, oh, niggas ain't shit, I'm asexual now, you're probably not.
Probably not.
You're probably abstaining for a little bit, unless you like went to church and said that, in which case you're celibate. That is a difference. So what about aromanticism?
Now, I had to go and look this up because I was like, you know what? This is a cool looking word. So
it's got an A and an R and a C.
Oh, yeah. So it's basically, it's like having a cool friend, but like a really cool friend, like one that like makes or breaks your day. So like when you think of that, like it made me think of the squish.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you have like someone that you may reach out to, like it could be two or three people a day. It could be not really family. Don't let it be family. I mean, it'd be weird. It's family. But like, you know, maybe that neighbor that you would like, I don't know, walk to the bus stop with on your way to school and you
That's
notice.
That's an important person because I don't like walking to bus stops with people.
Right. Like, you know, someone who you would notice if they weren't there that you didn't speak to them. Okay. In that day. And not just because like they owe you $15 or something. Like it's just, you know, someone who you care about the many updates with. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that are bigger on small talk, and maybe you're not a small talky person, but mm-hmm. with this select few, it's like
you have an intimate connection with that person.
Yeah.
Although not sexual.
Right.
But do you feel romantic connections towards people?
Well,
because aromanticism, just to say it, is a person who experiences little or no romantic attraction to others. So there are people who can be asexual and aromantic.
Okay, so, all right, so, yeah, delving into that, it would be like, I'm one who sort of tries to follow a skeletal version of normalcy, even though it's not normal. So the same way how people would have like a work spouse.
Yeah.
I'll have that kind of a relationship with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be just someone from work. It could be, you know, someone I just casually see daily. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
Okay. So you just form intimate connections with people.
Yeah.
But do they give you butterflies in your stomach?
Well, okay. I don't know if I could go that. It's hard because I'm trying to make it relatable to some thing that I could see. It's hard. All right. So you know how, like, if you're in New America and you see all these kids, they have these these fidget spinning toys, mm-hmm. and they're in adults and they're going crazy. It's like, why are these toys everywhere? I don't get it. I don't understand. That's basically me trying to relate to sexuality. And it's all around me. Yes. But I'm like, but why is it happening? Why is it everywhere? Like, does it have to happen in front of me right now? Like, it's on my television. It's every other pop-up ad that clicks. Like, it's just too in. I don't.
That's a great point. I think that I was watching some TED talk with an asexual activist. Ooh, I didn't write his name down here, but it's in my phone. And he was like, basically, like, the crux of how we view intimate human connection is founded on sexuality, but it doesn't need to be that way. Right. Because I have intimate connections with way more people than people I'm actually sexual and romantic with.
Right.
So it doesn't always have to be like this rom-com. This is what it means to like have a person and be your person. So that's cool. So you are aromantic.
I guess so. But that's it's a terrible thing to embrace.
Why?
I don't know. Just feels like
there's so much else in the world to embrace.
I mean, well, yeah, of course. I'm going to say that because it's true.
Yeah. I don't think that's a terrible thing to embrace. Okay, so those are two terms just to like get our feet wet. So some other common terminology, the term ace, that's not popular.
Okay, so for those who don't really know, ace is pretty much the shortened version of asexual, because when you say it, that's the first thing that comes out is ace. So that gets you there. Mm-hmm. So same way how people could just say bi. We didn't want to just say the letter A, because that, you know, people like to...
Hey, I'm an A.
Yeah, people like to misconstrue that for like type A, which is, I mean, totally okay. There's nothing wrong with being type A, but being type A and being asexual are not the same thing. So, you know...
Yeah, they're not even on the same meters.
That's like that was the fastest date I've ever had.
And how about the term squish?
Okay, so yeah, squish, even hopefully there are some fellow aromantists out there who also experience this squish sort of effect, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's sort of like, I want to say it's like a crush sort of, but not really. It is though. It is a crush. That's what I you think gotta it's call it.
A
crush it.
On a person, but not.
It's like you
experiencing any sexual or romantic feeling towards right. them. You it's just like them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's silent awe, or you know, you're cheering for them on the sidelines. Heart a photo on Instagram or something. Aww. You know, just because you're out there and you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I want you to know that I know and I see you doing your thing, yeah. and I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't really need to get in your pants, but
like, I'm just really happy
for yeah you. Like, this is you're on your way, like, yeah, exactly. And it's hard because I'm pretty sure some people think that's like a line or like someone's trying to, you know, like an end for some other thing, but
mm-hmm. Well, that's because a lot of people are douchebags and would say, hey, I have no attraction towards you at all, and then do try to get in your pants.
Yeah, so just
stop ruining it for the asexual. It's like the guys who actually dress as women and then rape people in the bathrooms, fucking it up for transgender
yeah,
like, people.
Exactly. So yeah.
Why are you doing this? Stop false repping. Rep your own set. Creep.
For real, right?
Okay, so let's delve into a little bit about your general experience being asexual. How old are you for context?
I am going to be 35. Wow, in October.
It's That's terrible. A lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. I never know until I think about it.
I'm at that point now. Like, once I passed 21, I was like, why am I counting?
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. And then 25 is coming up, and it's like, okay, I'll count that. And then until I get to 30, I'll be like, I don't care. Okay, so when did you realize you were asexual, or did you always know?
There was always something going on. I was always the kid that missed the memo. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was
so
ultimately everybody was sort of, I don't know, feeling their proverbial oats and things, and I just was watching the change happen. And so it was like, it was just this big fad that just developed between all of my classmates and peers. And mm-hmm. even my mom started talking about it. She was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, tell you to make sure that you're not putting yourself at risk when you're out there doing that. And I'm like, doing what? What now?
Doing what?
You know, I have Regents next week. Get this conversation wait.
Yeah. So that was like in high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then even, you know, after high school, like my prom date, she was like, yeah, we're going and it's going to be a magical evening. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
What does she mean by magical evening? Like a romantic evening? Or was she trying to get that prom date lay?
Hey. I mean... I was late to the memo party. Like, oh, maybe,
okay, so you had no idea what magical meant.
I mean, look, like, hour,
David Blaine's gonna show right, up.
Something like an hour before, an hour before she even became our prom day, she was like, you know what? I want you to ask me to go to the prom, but now it's sort of not fair because like I told you to ask me, but I wanted like you, but you have to ask me because that's the way it has to go. And it's like, okay, so this is happening, okay.
Was she a close friend?
She was someone that went to like my church. It was a relatively new church.
Okay.
And then so that, you know, prom happened. Prom night happened. I made it home in one piece. I don't know if she got everything that she wanted.
What did she want and what happened prom night?
Maybe I was
spill the details.
I'm not good at, you know, some people, I feel like if people want things they should say they want things, so
you can't, I mean, read we just cues.
Yeah, I as far as, yeah, I'm not good at, yeah, okay. It was terrible, but not terrible because we all had a good time. We had a good G-rated time.
Okay.
I had a good time, right? Exactly. I mean, you know, it's of no consequence if she never spoke to me again after that day.
Did she not?
No, I mean, like, we spoke like a week after, but then it was like it just trailed off and I'm like, okay. Oh, great. And then I asked about her like a few years later. I was like, oh, she's pregnant. I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
That does happen sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So was that your only, because that was like, you were put into a romantic situation.
Yeah.
Although you were not that person.
But that always happens.
Okay. Like, well, that's what I was going to.
No, yeah. Go so, ahead. I would say high school again. A
mm-hmm.
Wonderful friend of mine, we were hanging out, and then my aunt runs into us in like a shopping center. It's like, oh, you guys should date. You guys are, and you know, and I'm guessing they were on the same page, or maybe it was set up and I just didn't know and I wasn't there. And I'm like, sure, this is
it's a very interesting setup.
Yeah, let's, hey, all right, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, when I remembered, it was great. And when I didn't remember, it sucked because, you know, Tales of a Flake, it's sort of, you know, it's just there.
Oh, like you didn't remember you were in a quote-unquote relationship?
Sometimes that happens.
Wow.
I mean, that's a mean thing to say and admit to. I'm so sorry.
Mean.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's fine.
It's like, why am I here? Oh, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So how did that ultimately end?
Well, you know, it got to a point where it was a serious conversation, you know, We were still kids, teenagers. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I gotta worry about school. You gotta worry about school. You know, I'm starting work after school. I'm gonna be like this really, really busy person. It's harder to, you know, craft the time, but, you know, I'll still call when I can. I'm tired of, you know, filling up your mom's whole tape machine. Okay, so a long time ago, before like the digital phone age, like there were answering machines that the whole family shared, and it was like a tape, and so the tape could fill
that's
up.
That's old school.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So it would be nothing but like my messages, like, "Huh, I'm out of school. Just thought about you. Make sure everything's okay. I'm on my way to work. Great, see ya." And then, you know, "Oh, I'm at work. I took a break, and I thought, you know, maybe you'd be done with your homework right now. Maybe we could talk. Okay, see ya." And so, like, I would, it'd be a lot of those. "Oh, I heard you were sick, so I plan on coming by with some like cookies. And I know that's not the best thing to bring for somebody who's sick, but, you know, just sending you warm energy." And then that was just like me, like, consistently. When I'm on, and it's like a lot, and it could get to that boring but overwhelming kind of puppy. I don't know, but
and that,
like,
was all you. That was not you trying to fit into like, this is what a relationship should be mold. That's
right.
Your
right. It wasn't like
intimate connection with
right.
somebody.
Right.
Okay, you're that kind of friend.
Right. When the squish happens, it is squishy.
Oh, we're gonna get into that later. But a little bit more about like your budding asexual days. So you're not a virgin. Dun dun dun.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I. Whew. So I would say maybe definitely my first job. My mm-hmm. mom comes in there, you know, she's so proud of me, hands me a box of condoms in front of my boss and is like, don't put people at risk. And I'm like, thanks mom. Yeah. Because she's so awesome and I love her, but it did make things kind of
weird. It's like the time my mom threw tampons at me.
But it wasn't like at work in front of your boss though. Cause like,
no, you're right. That adds another layer to it all.
So, and then, you know, luckily 4 months later, I got like promoted there, which is weird. I don't know.
He's like, this is the guy. This is the guy.
It's like, oh. Then I started doing drive-through, and then like back then I was still with the squeaky, like middle coming of age voice. So mm-hmm. it'd be like, it was just a very, very interesting, sometimes terrible, but to everyone else enjoyed it. So, you know, it was a lot of like random activity there. There was maybe a coworker that was kind of maybe interested in, but ultimately, again, I couldn't read the signs that were probably right in front of me. I didn't know that there was a yellow brick road that I should have been kind of following mm-hmm. down. So, I mean, I missed out on some fast times. I mean, I don't feel bad about missing them. It's mm-hmm. just like, I sort of wish I knew or was in the mind frame to get it. But I guess I wasn't there yet, like at all.
Yeah. What exactly? Friendship?
So, well, I mean, I've tried doing like friends. And, you know, they work until, you know, they don't. Because friends, they all seem to want other things that maybe I wasn't ready for. Like, I had a friend that was amazing, and then she asked for, like, maybe a kid. And I'm like...
A kid?
I'm like 18 a child? And a half. I mean, I get how to get a kid, but it was sort of, maybe that was like,
possible,
like it was her way to sort of like jog my mind into thinking of her in that lane. And, you know, what I ended up doing was, you know, why do we end up with like 4 kids? And all of a sudden I had 4 kids, gave them all names and personalities. So I had done fast forward through the art of childbirth and the things the that kids need exist, right here. So now the kids exist, and I'm telling stories of everybody like, oh, and then this kid's, you know, this is gonna be the smart one, and you know, this one's gonna be the rascal. And it's like, but I fast forward through something really, really important. And that kept happening. So like, I would go to different places, maybe you're not of a conventional sexuality. Like, those thoughts definitely passed my mind. So, you know, I did the whole, like, the village scene, but then even like being around
the village scene,
like, so New York, New Yorkers, good New York, West Side, Chelsea area. Like, you guys have got to kind of get a picture. And so I'm there, and I'm just, again, looking for where I fit, and no matter where I went, it was just like, you know, I'm not getting it. Like, mm-hmm. what's the point? What's the end game? And it was sort of just me going through all of these motions, no matter where I was, until I was like, you know what? You know, I'm not gonna play. I can't play by these rules, because I mean, whatever it is that you consider winning, like, that's not.
Yeah.
It's not my win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
So what is your end game? Because I guess the sexual end game is like, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people say it's marriage, but even now we're kind of like deconstructing those, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as, I don't know if I want to, I shouldn't say never, well, never say never. Mm-hmm. I just ultimately want to not be bored with someone who's not bored with me, like, at the end.
Yeah.
You know, if she's somebody who's like super busy, but can you message me or send me memes and things every day or whatever, we could laugh about it. Like, I would be totally content. Come in my neighborhood, we can hang out for a bit, maybe drink, maybe socially. I don't know. I was about to say something terrible.
Then we just go on a killing spree, right?
Like, I mean, if she's my Harley Quinn and I have to be her joke, if that's sort of where we need to be, then I mean, I guess that's where we're at.
Okay, so do you see yourself with that person? Can it be a man or a woman, or a gender non-conforming person? Or
I'll say ultimately, it doesn't matter how they choose to express themselves, as long as they feel expressed and not like disquieted or like bound by anything. If they, however, you know, they are male or female again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can literally be like whatever they want to be, as long as it's literally what they want to be. And it's not, you know, I'm filling out or auditioning for this role of soulmate or like whatever, because I'm not looking for someone who can perform well. I'm just looking for someone who's, who can recognize, yeah, like what their skin is, you know. You know, whatever their views on the world are, if they grow or change, you know, again, that's amazing because growth is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Words mean things. Mm-hmm. So,
hashtag.
You know, I mean what you say, be really, just be unapologetically you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you delved into, I don't know, is it okay to call it like a dating? Like friendship dating?
Well, yeah. Like, you know, somebody will be in, you know, the DMs or whatever. And it's like, you know, hey, you always take these pictures. You're always out at these places. You know, maybe I should come and check you out. Oh, hey, yeah, you know, maybe you should. And it's like, who are you? Oh, yeah. We spoke. And then, you know, we try to do a little, let's do it about me. Let's do it about you. And then see where it goes. Again, it's hard because, like, I have friends who, they mean well and they try to do the whole setup thing. So it's like, you know, you should meet this person. This person doesn't have sex either. And it's like, oh, cool. We got a thing in common. Mm-hmm. Why don't you guys speak anymore? Oh, we don't speak because they try to have sex with me.
Wait, so your friends are introducing you to other asexual people and the asexual people are trying to smash?
It's hard to really. Exactly. So it's like, maybe people are, I don't know, they think it's an act or a ploy or a game, and I definitely don't get it. So, you know, I was lost. And it's like, did we really stop speaking because you wanted sex and I didn't? Like, is that why we stopped? That's why we started talking.
It's like, what? Okay.
Words mean things. Moral of the story is words mean things, and it's okay to learn what words mean to everyone, because you know, sometimes
clearly asexual didn't mean what it really means to you.
It's a song I heard called Nobody's Side, where it says everybody's playing the game but nobody's rules are the same. Nobody's on nobody's side. That's sort of what this mind field is, that, you know, my version of dating has been,
man,
ultimately
the asexual dating struggle.
Oh man,
are there like websites, like social networking websites?
I mean, they are my vision of them seem to be way more limiting than they possibly even are. Mm-hmm. As I'm somebody who performs outside of a community, so it's not like I have like a band of asexuals that, you know, we have our, you know, home base that we all sort of like dish and tell each other stories and things, because I feel that I'd be leaving people out of the conversation that should also want to hear what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of talking to people who don't necessarily relate to anything that I say, but they're like around. And I mean, I don't feel unfulfilled when I have those conversations there.
Okay.
So
yeah, as long as you're fulfilling what you need to fulfill.
Right. Cool. And I'm definitely open to joining any, if someone has a local group or meetup thing that they wanted to promote, or reach out to me, I'll give you my contacts later on near the end. And yeah, I'll definitely come and check you guys out.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Because I was always wondering, like, you know, because in like the entire acronym of LGBTQIA, the A is there. It's kind of weird for the A to be there, because it's like, it's weird for the T to be there too, because like sexuality, gender.
Right.
Sexuality, intersex, body.
Right.
Asexual, not sexual at all. So it's just like all of the people who are not straight and heteronormative.
Yeah, they need definitely.
A pool for you guys.
Yeah, it's like, well, should they really even be in the acronym? Maybe the A stands for allies, which is a thing I've heard. And I lost it. I feel badly for the way I represented myself on social media that day. I mean, if I could take it back. No, I didn't take it back. I didn't delete it. It's still there. I'm sure it's in my history. And when it comes up on my memories, I'll probably share it and put a picture of it and draw circles and arrows and go, don't ever be like this person. But, you know.
Don't ever make the ally. So, like, when you were exploring the village days or whatever, or how in general do you feel accepted, if at all, by the broader LGBT community?
Well, people, again, no matter where you are, they will add a label to you, whether it fits or not, you know, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was embraced definitely as, like, you know, family. I've done, you know, some of the marches and protests. I, you know, am big on anti-erasure. Mm-hmm. I loved seeing the way how people have come together. I mean, I'm knowing it's usually like, you know, in the afternoons and evenings, and it's like, okay, you know, we're like a subset of community. And then they have, you know, it goes into deeper things mm-hmm. that I don't personally know too much about, but you had the guest from, you know, the week before who was able to break down all of, like, you know, ballroom things and, you know, yeah. the mm-hmm. way that is. So, yeah, so there was not really, yeah, there were places to go. There were places to go and, you know, people to sort of hang out with. There's, of course, you know, nightlife underbelly. Mm-hmm. So it's all around. It's, I mean, if you've never gone on that pilgrimage, you know, like I said, beginning with your self-care tip, go ahead and, you know, hang out just for one day, bring a friend, stick your toe in, see how it resonates. I mean, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would also like to stress that, you know, if you don't want to go on your sexual pilgrimage, you know, like, you don't have to experience sex to know that you're asexual or sexual.
Well, right.
Okay, so I had a question about your relationship dynamic. So sometimes people who are asexual are in, you know, close intimate relationships with people who are sexual, and it'll be a situation where, like, the sexual person will fulfill their sexual needs elsewhere, which is kind of like a polyamorous situation.
It sort of is when you consider that the outside element is not a stable or consistent part of the relationship. So if you're, you know, situationship is you and, you know, you're plus one and they have a high sex drive and you don't, I mean, for the sake of trying to, I don't want to say for, you know, trying to please them, mm-hmm. but for the sake of, I don't know, you know, having, they have their pre-existing condition is the fact that, you know, they're a sexualized being and, you know, it's, you know, your fault for, you know, your heart wanting what your heart wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's either you owning up to what you're not and saying, you know what, you have an itch to scratch and I really don't feel a way about you scratching it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may feel a way about, you know, not me scratching it, but I mean, I don't feel a way about you getting it scratched and then, you know, coming back after mm-hmm. the fact. Mm-hmm. So...
yeah, it's being upfront and honest about yeah. what you want instead of like feeling the need to bend and then have sex with your partner just because they're your partner and stuff like that. That's cool. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
I'm going to say maybe, definitely, yeah. And it was fun while it was fun. That's what I'll say.
Why did it stop being fun?
I got distracted. So it just ultimately I just didn't they see myself. No, I got distracted. I'm sure they literally became or were the same exact person they've always been. Mm-hmm. And so somewhere down the line the silent awe sort of just congealed into like mild tolerance. And then it just, you know, fizzled into like, I don't know, like dust. And I was like, okay. Maybe there was like a level of allure that was like really strong in the beginning, and then, you know, when the months come down the line, it's like you have intricacies and I know what they are, so you're someone like I know you. It's, I mean, I don't unlike you, it's just you're not interesting. That's a terrible thing to say.
No, it's not. That's a terrible thing to say. Do you feel like you're constantly chasing, like how people who are romantic have like new romantic energy or new relationship energy, actually? Do you have new relationship energy?
I understand new relationship energy and I get like the joys of like the butterflies and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. I'm sort of like that, but with a slight caveat because, you know, I am okay with people being who they are, like I always say. And if you're somebody who, you know, can grasp a newer concept, or, you know, you're someone who's growing and stepping into a newer version of you, I am there to support that newer version of you every step of the way until you feel like, you know, this doesn't work, or it does, or you want to take it to the next level beyond. Mm-hmm. I'm big on people wanting more for themselves, mm-hmm. versus me wanting more for you than you want for yourself. Because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you won't change unless you want to change.
Yeah, that's tired. You can't. Yeah, you can't build someone.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you are an asexual hoe.
Oh yeah.
What that mean?
again. So I mean, you know, I got friends. You know, I got buddies and compadres. People, mm-hmm. you know, that make me smile, even though they can't consistently do it. But you know, I don't judge people for what they cannot provide, because it's not like they ask to be, you know, this factor in my life. You know, it's like celebrity says, you know, I never asked to be a role model. Like, I mean, you just mm-hmm. all kind of are. Like, most likely if you're one of my like squishes, it's because you're like, you're achieving, you're doing this thing that I really, really am thankful that you're doing, the mm-hmm. service that you're providing to, whether it's your community or like your family, and just like, it's an all around good vibe that I'm probably just feeling and want to kind of be around. Mm-hmm. So that was a Millie Rock. I was like,
that was Millie Rock. The completion of the Millie Rock has occurred.
Oh, so I mean, yeah. So it's sort of me just like I said, staying out of trouble with all of my jobs, and then reaching out to my 1, 2, or 3, my support system people, mm-hmm. and just, you know, like, this happened in my day, and you know, I thought about you, or I had this weird dream about calculus, and then I had to change my sheets. This is awkward.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So do you have like, is it a rotation of people?
It's a terrible thing to say, but no, because it is though. I mean, it is because, you know, it's hard to boil down getting literally everything from like a person, and that puts way too much demand on the one person. Like, mm-hmm. I've definitely have done it before, and I don't want to say I sort of, you know, drove her maybe away a little. It's just, I'm sure she wasn't anticipating all of that need and then all at once.
So what do you,
I am needy.
Like, what do you need out of people? What are your expectations? Or what would you like?
It's all right. So I may be temporarily at a place where I am one of those dish but can't take type of people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes I do want to just be in the ether. Like, I want to be like this, like, I want to be like the Snapchat ghost. Like, I speak to you like, hey, what's going on? And then, like, I'm gone for, like, maybe a day. But mm-hmm. then I'm back and I'm like, let me tell you all about what happened on this day when I was away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, like, there will be people that, you know, they maybe can't afford to have that separation in that day, mm-hmm. if they're trying to be like, you know, like, I guess literally like in my life, where it's like things will crumble down if, you know, they don't hear from me, or vice versa. I've definitely gotten to at least 1 or 2 phone tag matches with someone where it's like, I've called you 3 times in a row and you have not answered, so I'm not gonna call you at all until you try to call me back. And then I have to think about whether or not I'm gonna answer when you call. And it's childish and it's stupid. It is stupid.
It's not, it's really not stupid. I mean, I feel like it might be deemed as stupid because you're taking out the romantic sexual thing, but that is exactly what we do on the sexual side of things. No, but it's just as dumb.
Right. So
these are also the things I was doing in 8th grade. So yes. And I would do stuff like this with my best friend, who I wasn't romantically attracted to at all.
Right. It's like, I'm not speaking to you for the next 5 minutes. Exactly. So yeah, then I try to complain to like a friend that's like, well, are you sleeping together? It's like, no, no. But then why is it this serious? It just is. And there's no way to get someone to ever get it. So I have to just always pretend that they have to think about it in a sexual way for it to be somewhat a situation that they can grasp. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, sure. All right, we had sex, but then they're not answering. So yeah, what's the problem? Oh, wait, never mind. They're calling now. I don't have a problem anymore.
Yeah. Oh, man, that sucks. Yeah, I feel like we should definitely just remove just the sexual requirement for intimate relationships to be deemed as valid.
Yeah.
So it's a rotation because you're not getting everything you want, right? Or are you getting bored of the people? Or is it both? Why are you going?
Yeah, why? Because ultimately, I feel like I may not be giving what every person who could be in my life would need. So it's like, you know, the people who I count on, maybe each one is strongly in the running to be, you know, someone who exists in this world right along my side. But it's like
a partner,
whether it's distance, whether it's availability, because I'm a very busy person, unfortunately, whether it's I don't know, maybe some aspect of it is boredom. It's like, well, I've seen the show before, and it's like
I've had enough of you.
Yeah, like this has happened. I've woken up many a that's a terrible thing to say. it's a running gag, as you can see. Hashtag terrible thing to say. I've woken up many a 2:30 in the morning going, why am I here? Possibly rolling off of a Marinol, possibly not. And I'm like, you know, if I was in my functioning mind, I would, you know, take a jog around the block or something, but here I am.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever lived with any of your friends?
I've stayed with a friend maybe a week, if that. Luckily, you know, Wi-Fi is strong, so my mind, and you know, I have things that I retreat to. My idea of a personal perfect vacation is just anywhere alone with strong Wi-Fi, and then I could do just whatever I need to. My space.
No, I would add warmth to that, and then I'm all with it, honestly.
Oh yeah. See? Easy. I'm easy to please. I'm easy to please. Like, why are you touching me? I don't understand. What is happening?
Wait, so that person was touching you?
No, just like in general.
Was that week?
Okay, so yeah,
did that break of boundaries that make?
Was there a break of boundaries? Kind of, sort of, because like I was, you know, doing the whole couch surfing thing. It's like, oh, why don't you just come sleep in the bed? And it's like, oh, here we go. Know where this is going. And I was like, wait. We didn't go there. So, like, I can literally share a bed with, like, my squish. Okay. And then, like, I don't have to worry about anything crazy happening. So, it was wonderful for, like, 5 of the 7 days. And then, like, you know, one of the days, I don't know, maybe somebody rolled over wrong. Or maybe there was a dream happening and, like, REM took over. And then, like, you know, the octopus started doing the entanglement things. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to stay here awake while you sleep. Maybe you're comfortable like
on
this.
The sixth day, just, they wrap their arms around you.
Just, yeah. Okay. It sounds like complaining. It's terrible. That sounds like complaining.
No, that's not terrible.
Like this, I'm sure there's someone out there like, well, you know, at least you got somebody that you can hang out with. And da, da, da,
yeah, but I don't want them to touch me.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's okay.
Am I not allowed to say I don't want to be touched? Like,
what did we say earlier? Consent.
Like, right. Consent is the thing. Like, if I'd heard, like, oh, is this okay? Like, oh, you know, it's okay now because you asked me.
So do you think they were actually sleeping or do you think they tried something?
I don't have nothing really based it off of, but I'm sure there's somebody, you know, like the weird yawn at the movies where you're like, and now my arm's behind your neck, and yeah, you know, my other hand is in your popcorn.
Yeah, that touching thing. Yeah,
it's like, I mean, I get wanting to, maybe not really. I don't even get maybe wanting to touch another human being. Like at work, like I'm okay with the girls there, and if they want to, like, you know, put their hand in my sweater or whatever, like I'm totally okay because, you know, I get it. They have anemia, and sometimes the AC is OD, and it's terrible. And they're like, oh, I'm just trying to get warm. And maybe that's also a line, and I'm going to have an aha moment by the end of this podcast.
I think these people are using you a little bit. I don't like the way they're treating you. They're treating you like how men treat women.
It's terrible.
You are being harassed.
Oh, especially that one girl who keeps touching my boobs.
What the fuck is up with that?
I don't know. It's just, she's like, just
that's
random.
Not okay.
I'm just, but it's, but I don't think about it in that way. So again, it's like maybe it means something else, But I would never know that. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like because, do they know that you're asexual?
I think, or like, they, I mean they I've see been you there.
Navigate in the world, right?
Yeah,
they're like, he's not gonna try anything. So yeah. I feel like they're like taking advantage of that.
I could see that where it's like, yeah, you know, this is the one, you know, that I could do all of this to and I don't have to worry about, you know, anything like coming back to me. You know what? That is, yeah, that's a accurate picture that you can paint. Okay, well, so on one, cool, yeah, on one hand, I'm like, I'm thankful that, you know, I'm seen as this, you know, safe space because, you know, I'm definitely never gonna, you know, initiate like anything. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, dude, your boob is on my hand. Can you move
can
your
I
boob?
Can I have my hand back, please?
Exactly.
Because like, I didn't ask for a titty to be on it.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay, so greatest, worst, and weirdest experiences as the asexual hoe.
So I would say like greatest, I mean, here are the perks. Here we go. So in case people are wondering, you know, like, you know, what's in it for anybody who just doesn't want to do any of these like suggested list of activities that sort of are supposed to define any sort of like romantic relationship. It's like, think about everything that I'm walking away from. Think about all of the bullets you're technically dodging as far as, I mean, the worst I've ever got from somebody would be maybe their cough. Maybe their cough, maybe their sniffles. Maybe I've gotten somebody sniffles once, but like that's like the extreme of it. Like I didn't have to go to like a clinic where they're like, oh well, if this is 2022, oh we don't have that. We don't serve these types of, you know, we don't have
your
this.
Healthcare is not exactly. Accepted.
We don't. You're gonna die from that.
You are a pre-existing condition. You're gonna die from that.
Like, I mean, it may
you're
be the way.
You're just printing up your funeral.
You know what? I'm calling it now. 2022, just everyone just be extinction. Asexual. Be asexual. It will be cheapest.
Be abstinent.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, no, there's a lot of risks being a sexual human being. You're just avoiding all those risks. I'm sure you've heard, like, horror stories from your sexual friends and stuff like that. It's dramatic. Yeah. It's drama.
Oh, so wait. So my first... my first case of like some sort of a ST something would have came from someone I know getting it from a relative. Oh, and so this got weird because it was like, it wasn't like a relative did something with them, like a ancestral thing. It was like someone stole some like skivvies. And then, like, returned the skivvies. Panties. Like someone stole skivvies, returned the skivvies. Like, an active sibling borrowed skivvies of a non-active sibling. Wow. And sort of just snuck them back in. And then they just sort of, like...
wash my underwear, sis.
Yeah, like, exactly. On, like, that's...
how you gonna fuck me over like that?
Exactly. Literally. Like, I'm in this clinic, and I'm like... I've never even done anything, man. Like that's yeah, that's exactly. The worst.
Doctor's like, why are you lying? Like, I swear, I did not do this. Okay, low point.
Oh, low point is eventually people someone.
Touching your boobs.
Well, that too, but ultimately, like someone in the relationship is gonna be the one to have to say, you know, I can't give you everything that you want, even before anybody asks for anything, and so it's hard to begin anything new because it's like. Is this just gonna be a waste of time? Like, aww. Small talk is amazing if you're a small talker, you know. But yeah, like it totally sucks when you are afraid to begin something new because you know it possibly will end before it starts. It's like, well, let's go dance. You're not grinding hard enough on me or whatever. And it's like, well, my motivations aren't. I don't like. What am I? Like, I'm here, and there's music playing, and I get it, but...
not gonna dry hump you here.
Right, like, well...
just lower your expectations a little bit.
Just a wee, I mean, you know?
Wow. Aw. How about the weird point?
Okay. So, to double down on, you know, again, not being able to read or not knowing where things could or are trying to go, it's, yeah, just even trying to break down any kind of complaint you'll have about someone, and they're like, do they even know that you care about them like this? Well, I mean, I send them messages, but do they know? And it's like, are you in a one-sided relationship right now? Because this feels like they don't know you're alive.
Like on your end.
Right. Like, it's like, it feels like they don't know you're alive and you're angry that they don't know that you're alive.
So do you have those conversations with people where you're like, this is a friendship that I take seriously? Like, it may not mean this, but it means something to me.
Right.
And I have certain expectations of you.
But if I feel like I can speak without, you know, going off the deep end, I'll speak to them directly. But if I feel like I have to wait, I'll probably open up my notepad, yeah, write the fiery version of what I want to say, and then, you know, look at it and chop up what could be misconstrued and misunderstood, look for some parables to kind of like segue into what I mean, and then, you know, do the cut and paste. And it's like, please.
Is our friendship over thesis paper?
Yeah. It's like, well, please let them analyze this properly. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to be like, why are you sending me books? Like, I don't, who's got time to read all of this?
You should, if you care about this friendship.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm just going to ask two of the questions where I feel like people would be like, well, how's that like? So when you had sex.
Okay.
How did that, did it feel like anything?
I mean, it was like a, I was going to say a starburst, but maybe more like a gusher.
Like a pink starburst?
Or? Like a, maybe like a pink starburst. Okay. Yeah, it was a thing that happened until it ran out of juice, sort of. these are terrible things. And I'm sure they mean other things, but I have no idea like what else they could mean. But I know what I mean. Maybe.
So mentally, nothing was happening. It was just like,
I was just, yeah, like, okay.
Going back and forth.
Mechanical.
Physically, did it feel good?
I mean, it was just, no, it was a thing that was happening. And then, you know, I'm trying to do the whole check the vitals. You know, are people alive? And so.
Did I kill them?
See, exactly. So, yeah, I was just.
I've never had to check somebody's vitals.
Oh, well, okay. So, I mean.
Okay. They were alive.
It's okay. If they ask you to choke them, yeah, you're allowed. Yes. Just make sure you don't kill them, you know. Okay. But airplay is a thing.
No, yeah, no, yeah.
Get consent.
Get consent, but, yeah. And then don't choke the windpipe. You got to go around the muscle, otherwise you're gonna crush the windpipe.
Right.
But we digress. Oh, so yeah. It felt like nothing.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay. So you don't masturbate?
All right. No, and mostly just because I don't get it. I don't. It's, mm-hmm. I compare it to someone trying to tickle themselves. It doesn't matter if the arm is asleep or not. Like, I'm not going to get a reaction
just feels like
out of me. And it's not that I'm doing anything wrong, because when I try to do things with friends, it's like, it's...
It works.
Right, exactly. Like,
feel it.
I put in the combination, the locker opens. Like, I got...
Well, you're functioning.
Exactly. It's just... It just does work on me.
Okay. And then one final question. Like, if you were to have a life partner or whatever, would you have children with that person? Not necessarily through sexual means.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of children people are either going to be stuck with in the future that they can't get rid of because of stupid decisions by old white people. And you know what? I'm not going to be the one to turn away some entity that needs help just to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
That's literally evil, I think. So would you like adopt?
I would. I've definitely tried before in the past, you know, until my check started bouncing, like, you know.
Yeah.
With the long distance kids that, you know, they tell you to, you know, look out for and mm-hmm. send pennies a month to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe the next child I invest in will be a little more closer to home, mm-hmm. locally, you know.
Okay, but not like a live-in child?
Well, I'm not against...
That's a terrible thing.
Right. No, no, it's okay.
Like a live-in child or a part-time kid?
I don't mind. Like, I have an idea for someone who definitely would be like, you know what? Come tax time, it'll be all worth it. But, yeah, you know, I can't think like that. I've known... I'm okay with maybe a living child. I feel like I won't be the best parent for a living child, at least not for the first one. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, but then I get the do over with the second one, and then, you know, everything's perfect all over.
But the middle child is just like, that's the one, you know? Yeah. Not too spoiled.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I was maybe a little too laissez faire with the first, and then I may be a little overbearing with
He's a dictator now.
Yeah, see, exactly. But,
you're the perfect one.
Right.
Okay. Anything else to add about asexuality in general?
Don't count anybody out if they're saying it. I don't really know how to say to hold them up to what they're claiming. There's not really a litmus test you could really give somebody who's maybe faking asexuality. But mm-hmm. if they tell you that, they're probably saying they're not interested in you sexually. It's a lame way to say it. They should just sort of man up or woman up and just say, you know, I'm not feeling you.
Yeah. People who are not asexual, stop claiming that you're asexual. Don't want to end up in a situation where an asexual tries to have sex with another asexual they didn't know the definition of the word.
Come on.
That tickled me. Anything else?
I feel like we got a good chunk of it all out there.
Oh, I had a question. Oh, yeah. How do you listen to a podcast about sex?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. All right. It's fun because, you know, I get to like, I've got like my dictionary on the side, so like somebody will say something, it's like, all right, let's pull up Urban Dictionary and see what that means. I'm just like, oh, okay, all right, that's what's going on. And so I'm doing a lot of that, so I enjoy being able to, the whole, even all of this, the tripod and pod ends, like I love being able to hear just what's current and what tickles like anybody's fancy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I'm in it for literally the personality anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why not get perspectives on things you don't know? So that way when someone's talking about it at dinner or at work or by the cooler or, yeah. or in the locker rooms, you know, like our president says, and it's like, okay, so now I sort of get why I get this. I mean, I don't understand it, but I can follow, you know? Yeah, I mean, don't ask me about sports. I'm not going to know nothing. I'm so sorry.
Likewise. Okay. All right. So let's move on to Fuck Me now.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me. So this is a segment about our asexual, aromantic dating lives.
Oh, yeah.
So you had a story.
Oh, okay. So... one day after work, I was chilling with a really, 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 really good friend, mm-hmm. who was probably my girlfriend at the time. Okay. Definitely. Okay. And so we're hanging out on the boardwalk, and I'm like, you know, that kind of looks like my aunt. That kind of looks like my cousin. Wait, I know who that is. And then she's like, well, that looks like my uncle. And I'm like, are they having a cookout? And so we go over there, and we realize, like, it was a big, like, family cookout. And I'm not one who's good with, you know, disseminating or differentiating between a play cousin and a play relative and play aunt and play
it's
uncle.
Hard. It's hard. It is especially way in too black hard. Families. We have right. a lot going on for no reason.
So, I mean, but it was literally just a family and then maybe family friends there.
Yeah.
And there were relatives that we both definitely recognized. So we went in there and I was like, yeah, that's my cousin. Wait, that's your cousin? And then so we were trying to, you know, connect all the pieces. It's like, so then are we like second cousins? So it was like, you know what, you know, so we stayed really, really close. But basically on that day, me mentally, I just was like, this is why I make the decisions that I make. Because had I been someone living like fast and loose or whatever, it's like, well, I may have
could have fucked your cousin.
See, exactly,
could have fucked your cousin. You nobody never wants to fuck
that. Right.
I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of people have problems. Like,
it's, I mean,
we're all here.
Like,
you know?
And then we don't know all of our family. We don't know, like, exactly. This family, that certain family cut off. And it's like, yeah, no, we don't
speak
to them.
There's a lot going on. Slavery happened. We don't know who we're related
right.
to.
So, somewhere down the line, somebody's doing something foul. You just don't know. And it's okay to not know. I'm just one of those people where I'm like, the truth is out there. I have to know. And yeah. That was one of those jarring moments where it was like, you know what? This was way too close.
I gotta do a documentary on that or something, like the people who have discovered they're dating their cousin at the cookout.
Yeah, like
my aunt's having a cookout. What a coincidence. My cousin's having a cookout.
Right.
Arrives at the same location.
Like, that is terrible. Like, and we're expecting. Oh, you're expecting, all right.
Oh no. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that story. Oof. That was like a little PSA too, like just like dig a little bit, you know?
Right. Like ask the family your aunties.
Tree. Does she look familiar?
What's the family secret? I know there's a secret. Did dad step out? Did mom step out? Exactly. Are we both the pastor's kids? Like let me know.
Uncover your truths. Okay, thank you. That's it for Fuck Me. And Fuck You, we're going to skip this week because in a couple of weeks we'll have a big mailbag episode coming up. So I just want to save some good letters for that. If you want your letter to be in that, please email ichewpodcast@gmail.com with your hotel or whatever. And we're going to end the show now.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's not cool. You're supposed to be like, oh, man. I mean, are you bored of this situation?
No, this situation is amazing. The okay. white wine was amazing. I'm settled.
Thank you, Brandon. Shout out to ICN.
Oh, yeah.
Indie Creative Network. Okay, all right. So let us know where we can find you.
Okay, so you can reach me at TJ Detweiler on most of the things. That's my, Snapchat and things. Yeah, ultimate things. TJ Detweiler FTW, that's me on Twitters and other things where you couldn't find me at TJ Detweiler because somebody already stole my name.
I hate those people.
How dare you? I'm not going to be TJ Detweiler 714.
This probably says Tumblr, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm on the Tumblr. No, I'm on Tumblr as well.
Oh, tumor is a thing?
Oh, not tumor. We may have to edit that.
That is a dark social network. But you know what?
I didn't.
I guess Terrence is in the place.
I did not get the trademark for tumor yet. You are not stealing my dot tumor. It's mine. You cannot have it. And when it grows exponentially, like a proverbial tumor.
When it metastasizes. If you guys would like to follow me on social media, you can do so at SlamRid on Instagram, Twitter, and tumor.com. You can go to Innerho Uprising on Twitter to follow the podcast. You can go to Innerho Uprising on Instagram to follow the podcast. You can also find the podcast on Facebook by searching Innerho Uprising and go to InnerhoUprising.com to do what? To vote for a new co-host for this show. Ozzy. You can vote for Terrence or any of the co-hosts that have been on this season so far, and there will be two other co-hosts coming up, so if you like them enough you can vote for them, and it's unlimited voting, so do what you must. If you would like to rate this podcast, you can do so on iTunes and Stitcher. Please give us 5 stars so that people find out about this show and listen and good things happen. And then we're gonna leave you off with a little something sexy from a sexual person.
So do I tell like a joke here or something sexy? I don't know either. I really have no idea what to do here. So
like, if you can't fathom sexuality,
exactly, so I gotta, so I
this
gotta,
just might not work.
So if I say like a number like 16, like does that do it for you? Like did it work?
That's totally what gets us off, man.
Okay, amazing.
Across the board, heterosexual, homosexual, pansexual. All right, demisexual.
Maybe I should say 26, make sure you have to eliminate the concept of, yeah.